Thanks for downloading the free feed of Sunday Night's Main Event. If you'd like the entire show commercial free, please sign up to our Patreon at patreon.com/SNMEradio.
And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday Night's Main Event.
In clear violation of the law.
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone, and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
WWE is sloppy in Saudi. Goldberg is main eventing Mania. And AEW gets Ambrosed. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sunday Night's Main Event. Jason Agnew here with you to run down and recap a very eventful week in the world of pro wrestling. And I'm joined on this ride by the man that I forced to watch Super Showdown earlier this week. Bartender Dave is here.
Hey, life may try to get in the way, but my good brother Jason, I will always find a way to carve out time for Canada's premier sports entertainment radio show, Sunday Night's Main Event.
Thank you, David. We've got lots to get into today. And later in the show, of course, Dave Meltzer with the Wrestling Observer Extra, the first division final in the Turnbuckle Trivia Tournament, and your feedback to cap off the night. We're going to mix and match the format a little tonight. News a little bit later, break first, and then back with a look at AEW Revolution and WWE Super Showdown and the ramifications of it when we get back right here on Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
Bartender Dave here to let all of my bearded brethren know that we are bringing the High Street Beard Care products to North America. From the darkest reaches of South Africa comes the finest beard oils and grooming products known to man. The highstreetbeardoil.ca. To us, beards are not a trend. They are a way of life. We have four beard oil flavors, spicy, woody, citrus, and earthy. A revolutionary beard jelly that'll leave your beard silky smooth and ridiculously attractive. Beard fertilizers that'll help you grow the biggest and most beautiful beard you can imagine. Also beard paste, beard butter, and stash wax. All available at thehighstreetbeardoil.ca. Join us on the high street and spoil your mane.
I think he can see! He's playing possum the entire time! He can see everybody! He has pulled one over on Chris Jericho once again! Moxley, boot! Paradigm shift! Moxley got it! Mox got it! Covering! Hot legs hook! We got a new champion!
Yeah, he was blinded by the light.
Well, there is the big news of the weekend. I mean, there's a few big stories. We're going to start here in AEW. Last night, to my great surprise, David, AEW presents Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get into what we just heard, the championship change there, John Moxley, your new champion. So this is a show that, honestly, I went into. Watching AEW Dynamite over the past 2 weeks
right.
was some of the most intriguing wrestling television where, you know, we work doing this. In particular,
yeah.
you know, I'm working and thinking how I'm formatting shows while I watch television and I'm thinking about what I'm going to talk about. Watching AEW for the past few weeks building this became enjoyable. And honestly, it's few and far between of when I watch wrestling and I enjoy it. I'm mainly watching it for work, but I was looking forward to it and looking forward to this event as well.
Right.
It was just such a great build, and I'm wondering, Dave, and I might get heat for this, but I'm wondering if that is the case where I watched this show and my emotion coming out of it was disappointment. Don't hate me for it. Well, feel free to hate me,
right,
whatever.
Well, yeah,
the angry Agnew, I don't know if he's going to come out, but honestly, I
miss him so much.
Nah, he doesn't come out that much anymore. I just don't care as much.
See, and this is the thing, too, because like when we did the Saudi show
last
Thursday,
God.
And if you haven't listened yet, everybody.
Yeah, it's on the Patreon.
Fantastic.
Myself
it's
and
fantastic.
Dave did that. Also on the Patreon, if you want a full breakdown of AEW Revolution, we have Joe Aguinaldo and Dan Lavransky doing like a 90-minute show breaking
mm-hmm.
down this pay-per-view and all the aspects of it. We're going to do an abbreviated version of that, but it is patreon.com/SNMEradio. Okay, shoot, we did Saudi, yeah.
Yeah, we did Saudi, and like, first thing, I come over to your place,
yep.
you open up the door, and you're like, Dave, I made a mistake. I watched Dynamite before we watched the show. And you were like gushing over how amazing the build is for this show. So I got really, really excited because I hadn't been following it. Mm-hmm. In all honesty, I hadn't watched the last 2 weeks. So I was going in with what you were saying about, oh my God, this is so good. The build is the best that we've seen for a long time for a pay-per-view. And like, well, there's not much of a build for any WWE event.
Considering next week we have Elimination Chamber.
Wait, what?
Yeah, exactly. It's ridiculous. But okay, so let's center on AEW here. Here is my cheap and cheerful review. I'm disappointed. And cheap and cheerful and then go disappointed.
Yeah.
And the reason why I think the build was so great, this pay-per-view had a lot to live up to, and I don't even think it is because I didn't get the outcomes I want. It is I felt a lot of the booking here and a lot of the matches, in particular MJF and Cody and the first one as well, the Hager and Dustin, it felt very WWE for me.
Really?
And it's not what I want.
Yeah.
I'm not watching WWE.
Exactly. That's the thing that you'd want from a rival company is something
different.
Exactly. Yeah. Like you got New Japan, completely different from WWE. Like even NWA.
Sure.
Completely different.
Yeah.
Different feel, different everything. Yeah. And that's what I started to fall off the AEW bandwagon was when I started seeing the exact same things happening that happened in WWE.
I gotcha. They did hit a bit of a rough patch. I'm still much better than the general WWE product. But okay, so let's get into this paper here. Let me explain to the listener who may be shocked right now that I'm actually saying this. Because, you know, if you do listen to Joe and Dan, they're very positive about what they watched. And that is one of the differences when Mouth and I watch things in different places. We don't feed off each other being in the same room, and sometimes negativity can swell, and so can positivity, right?
Yep.
Okay, so Jon Moxley winning the title.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the situations where it's not what I wanted, but that is not the reason why I didn't like this.
Okay.
The reason why I didn't like this is because of all the outside interference.
Yes, yeah.
And the outside interference is something that's very characteristic of WWE, even NXT for that matter, when you're dealing with like Undisputed Era. You know, one of my biggest pet peeves is when there's a 4-on-1.
And the one wins.
Johnny Gargano fends off everybody.
Oh, that was
the worst. Velveteen Dream fends off everybody. And in this case, you know, Moxley fended off everybody. And in particular, here, there is a spot in this match that I want to confront. Now, I know you in particular, and I think that you'll gravitate towards this point because you were the first person to ever tell me you don't like Aubrey Edwards as a referee.
Yeah,
I said, Dave, why? And you, why don't you like her as a referee?
She's just way too animated, and she's way in everybody's face.
Okay,
like I always look back to classic WWE refs like
Hebner, Morelli.
Yeah,
know. That Jimmy Corderas dude.
Jimmy Corderas. Yeah. They help push the match along without getting right in there. And Aubrey's always there with her arms out and stretching and like, oh, yeah, and it just drives me nuts.
Well, I don't mind that.
Okay.
But what I did mind here is, and you know, a lot of people love this. I'm just going to point out this moment.
Okay.
Aubrey Edwards throws out the guys from the Inner Circle.
Okay.
And she does a little tap dance thing and then a spin and then points and throws them out. It's like, that's a lot, lady.
Yeah. And Jimmy Corderas said that on his ref and rant that he does daily about the AEW refs always seem to be doing cartwheels in the ring. And
right.
And it's just like, no, you don't need to do that. Don't get yourself over.
It's funny you say that because my favorite referee is Derek Moore.
He's so good.
He's very small.
Yep.
He's put in women's matches and he's very expressive. His facial expressions are tremendous. Okay, but getting back to Aubrey, she does that dance. But in particular, after that, you had Chris Jericho before this shove Aubrey Edwards, all right?
Right.
So Jericho shoves her. The announcers do a great job at pointing out, oh, Jericho is trying to get himself disqualified.
Yeah, he's got because the champion advantage.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's unable to pin Moxley. Mere seconds after that, you have the Inner Circle on the outside, and Aubrey throws them out, Well, if the Inner Circle has seen that Jericho is trying to get himself disqualified,
why wouldn't they run in?
Why did they leave?
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Yeah.
Why did they leave?
And I didn't even put that together watching it last night. Like, it's so true.
It's moments like that. I mean, yeah, they had the plan of Guevara coming out after and then smashing Mox in the head with the title. But it that moment where I just sat there, I'm like, that made no sense whatsoever. So much outside interference here. I mean, granted, the one thing that I'll give this match is that Moxley outsmarted them. And one of the problems with WWE is the dumb babyface.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Owens is the exception to that rule, who always seems to outsmart his opponents. So John Moxley outsmarted all of the Inner Circle by faking the eye injury. Turns out he could actually see. That aspect I like. I didn't like a lot of the match. And I also don't like the outcome.
Yeah.
I do not like John Moxley as your champion. To me, Chris Jericho's reign was not done.
I think that they had to do this, though, just to please the crowd. Like, yes, Jericho's over in that, but Moxley seems to be coming up, and the crowd really wanted to see him win, you know?
I don't
agree with it, because you saw all those memes online this morning about it's a stunning Steve to Steve Austin turn here right now. That's what they're saying is with Moxley. Like, he's turned over.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Now he's this great giant character. I still don't see it.
I don't see it either.
I still see, what was he?
Dean Ambrose?
Dean Ambrose.
Yeah.
I still see Dean Ambrose. And it drives me nuts because, like, they put all their eggs into this basket and it just feels like the basket's got holes in it.
I just feel that Chris Jericho had the, he was carrying, him and Cody are like kind of carrying this company on their shoulders. And then there is a lot of talent that is getting over bit by bit. Hangman, Darby Allin,
yes.
Sammy Guevara, they're all getting over. But I don't think it was time for Jericho to lose the title. Now, the other thing that has been brought up is the fact that Jericho has a Fozzy tour coming up.
Okay.
And has commitment to the Fozzy tour and can't necessarily be on TV each and every week. And if they had left this another pay-per-view, then maybe it would have been too predictable. And therefore, people would know Jericho is losing. This was done as a surprise with Moxley winning. But normally, when we talk about booking for a surprise, that's not a good thing.
No, it's not. And you know what the big thing that I didn't like about this?
What's that?
Is that you've got this rival company to the WWE, and your champion, former WWE, loses to a former WWE.
Yeah.
And they didn't take the time to build up their own star to dethrone the former WWE.
Well, what it takes away from me is the fact that And this is one of those things where, as a fan of the product, you know, this is what we get into nowadays when you follow something so in-depth and so close, much like, you know, I'm a fan of Star Wars, and I didn't get what I wanted in The Last Jedi, right?
I didn't see it.
Yeah, well, don't see that one.
Oh, okay.
Anyhow, but, like, I didn't get what I wanted, so I was disappointed. And a lot of fans do that here, but what I wanted out of this, and I've been talking about it nonstop because I felt that AEW had already put the building blocks in place, was Omega and Jericho.
Yeah.
Because it's 1-1 right now.
Yeah.
So the rubber match for the title, and I know Omega's wrapped up in something else right now, but to me that means leave it on Jericho because let him ride it out until you finally get to him and Omega down the line. And sure, if it's Winnipeg, that would be absolute and utter chaos.
Yeah.
Or if it's even Toronto, even two Canadians in Toronto, right? And I'm not saying it has to be that way. And maybe I'm selfish as a Canadian saying that. Well, maybe I'm selfish as a fan saying that that is the scenario I wanted. But I think, let me put it this way. I think money was left on the table.
Big time.
By not going through with that storyline that I felt that they had put into place initially.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, but what is
Moxley, Ambrose, Jericho, Omega? Who are you talking about?
Omega. What is Omega doing?
Well,
like this kind of teasing a possible feud with Hangman?
Well,
like that's the only thing that he seems to be doing right now.
That's of huge importance, though, Dave. I mean, I can't necessarily say that that's a bad thing. And maybe, honestly, maybe that is one of the reasons why this decision was made. If you do look at the one match last night that delivered far and away, no competition, better than everything, except to me, overbooked, I gotta say it, guys. The AEW tag titles. This was the third match on the card. Hangman Page and Kenny Omega are your champions going in versus the Young Bucks. Listen, 6 months ago, if you had told me that Hangman would be the most over person in this match,
I know,
in
right?
this match with Omega and the Young Bucks, I would have told you you were absolutely and utterly insane. This guy was a dead character. Now he is everything that, mm-hmm. that you have told me in this conversation that AEW is doing to build their own star.
Yeah.
And you had Paige in this match spit into Matt Jackson's face.
That was brilliant, brilliant.
You tease a whole bunch of the intricacies of the relationship here. This was great storytelling. However, and I feel as though I'm going to be saying however a lot in this review, you had the indie taker done from the Bucks to Hangman on the ramp. The crowd booed. Yeah,
yes.
They booed, right? Which is very interesting. You had Paige being the biggest star and everyone else getting booed if they went against Paige. There is, they take out Omega, the Bucks that do, and they also get booed. There's a double super kick. Omega kicks out at one. To me, that's overbooked.
Yep.
Hangman doing the one-winged angel.
Yes.
On Matt Jackson. And then, that to me, that should have been the finish.
Oh, yeah.
That's where I felt the fact that Hangman was stealing Omega's move.
Exactly.
And using it. I like that as the finish. And I don't understand why they had to continue on and go to the buckshot on Matt to end this match. I just thought it went on a little bit too long. Don't get me wrong. These guys worked amazing together, and it was... Here's something I'll tell you, though. I liked the Roserweights match better at the NXT pay-per-view last week.
That was a fantastic
match. I love that. Honestly,
great.
That's
that
my match of the year right now. That is my match of the year right now. And I think I'm very much in the minority of a lot of what I'm saying here. But, I mean, this match was great. And the post-match on this was excellent as well, because you still had the brooding Hangman. But Omega and Hangman did leave together here.
Yeah.
So there is still that
and
sense of
Hangman
tension.
And then Hangman was just kind of hanging off the... Well, pun intended.
Hangman hanging,
on,
yeah.
On the ropes there. And it looked like he might be teasing to do something, but he was just waiting, and then the embrace. And I thought it was really well done. And to your point, Hangman was one of my least favorite characters.
Yep.
Like, right from the beginning, right from the get-go, when he faced Jericho in that first match for the championship.
Right. Oh, that he was just, dead weight.
I was
dead weight.
Comes out on a horse and everything. I thought, this is absolutely ridiculous, you know, doing all the cowboy moves, like the fall-away slam. And it's just like, oh, God, you got to be kidding me. But last night?
Over.
Like, oh my God, it was great. He was great. And I don't like the Bucks, and I like them as heels.
Oh, well, that's interesting. It's interesting to see how far they're going to push that. I'm curious to see. So they did well with that. Now, another mistake that was made last night, and no one is going to disagree with this, is the fact that the AEW women's title, Nyla Rose and Chris Statlander, was put right after
brutal
this tag team match of the year contender. Most people would think best tag team of the year. Listen, this felt like going from watching an Oscar-winning film to a high school video project.
It's so true. So true. And I got to agree with Mouth and Joe.
From
their show, they said that they should have you should have had the Cassidy.
Cassidy should have gone here.
Because then the crowd's going to get hyped no matter what.
Yeah, for something different.
Yes.
For something different.
Yeah.
And their intention here was to do something different, but you have two inexperienced wrestlers here in this match. You know, there were two top rope moves. Statlander nearly killed Nia trying to do a superplex off the top. Nia nearly killed Statlander with the finish being a powerbomb off the top rope. Both were brutal. The one thing that I finally saw something here in Chris Statlander, when she was hung out on the top ropes and I sat there. So she's like on the top ropes, waist on the top ropes, and just hanging there and wait. This is where you would wait for like a stupid leg drop off the top.
Yeah.
I hate this type of move.
Yeah.
But instead, she turns it into a handstand, and then after getting a roll-up on Nyla, she does the nose boop. Honestly, more sequences like that, maybe not more, but doing sequences like that maybe once a match, that gets her over.
Yeah.
AEW fans like gimmicky character work, much like Orange Cassidy, and less alien and more clever spots like that, and Chris Statlander has a chance of breaking away from the pack.
And that's, I'll totally agree with you, because it felt like last night that she was taking it a bit more seriously. It wasn't so joking and boop, 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 mm-hmm. didn't do the ref. I don't think she did the ref boop once, right?
No,
she
I don't think so. One
thing. Yeah, and it just felt like she was taking it more seriously in an actual women's championship match, which was a good
which
thing
to should. See.
Which she should. Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
of course.
But again, bad placement on that. So we talked about the fact that that's where Cassidy and Pac should have gone.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this match has received a lot of praise. I will say there's some very good things. The fact that Orange Cassidy came out and even his pyro was lazy. It was this lame pyro. I laughed out loud. It was so clever. And I will say, you know, much like that, there's a lot of things in this promotion that are well thought out. And some of this was and some of this wasn't. I found this initially very entertaining, but also when Cassidy kept going back to playing Cassidy within the match, as opposed to when he broke out of his laziness, there's such a contradiction to how slow and lazy he is, like sloth-like,
right.
to this dude is fast.
Yeah.
He is a, the amount of time it takes him to get up on the top rope is ridiculously quick. And I almost feel like when the bell rings, once he flips that switch, he should stay in that mode,
yeah.
as opposed to going back and forth to too much gimmick within the match. Because what a lot of people, what I felt they took away from this match, Dave, is this match was great. Hey, Orange Cassidy can wrestle.
Well, yeah, everybody's gushing over it. Like just saying, oh my God, this is fantastic. He's a great wrestler. And
he's a wrestler.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Like like you said, it should be the Festus thing. You want to play that sloth like bell rings and he's a wrestler.
Interesting. I mean, example taken.
Yeah.
Character much better.
Oh yeah, much better.
So that's where I kind of left this one. One of the things that I didn't think was well thought out, and I guess it's the start of a feud, is why did the Lucha Brothers come out? I have no explanation for that to end this match. Mm-hmm. They take out the best friends, and I'm just not sure why. It was very random. It seems like they didn't have a finish to this match, and that's why this was done, in order to get a finish. And again, that, to go back to my earlier point,
right.
felt very WWE.
Yes, exactly. Like just out of nowhere, it's like, oh, okay, wait, what? Like, I know that there had been some history beforehand between the two teams, but
not specific enough for me to identify and go, oh, that's why they're coming out.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. Let's talk more WWE here. And that is
the
MJ.
Giant tattoo?
Oh, man. Cody's got a neck tattoo, everybody. It's brutal.
Yeah, it is.
I don't understand with someone, you know, myself who is on camera and I don't have tattoos specifically so that it's not shown off. And Cody wants to do acting.
Yeah.
You got to make up that whole thing down. I mean, The Rock has it too. You know,
yeah,
he's got all
Batista
the arm tattoos.
And everything, yeah.
They do. I guess you can. It's just right on the neck. Like, get it somewhere else,
yeah.
bro.
Yeah.
All right. So it's MJF versus Cody. This, once again, felt very, very WWE booking style to me. First of all, I didn't understand why Brandy tossed water at Wardlow. That is a heel move to me, and it did bait Wardlow in, but why? MJF finally goes after the toe after about 10 minutes into the match. I love that. But when he pulled off the boot, MJF bladed after Cody hit him with a kick with his bare foot.
Maybe a toenail caught him or something.
Maybe he doesn't trim his toenails, I guess. Very dumb. Then Brandy decides to jump on Wardlow with a crossbody. She's caught. Cody tries to save her and accidentally hits Arn. Going back to my theory of Brandy ruins everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought I liked her better in this role.
You want her back in that?
No, I don't want her back. Apparently, though, now what is happening with Brandy is she's had enough time being at Cody's side.
Okay.
She's pulling away from Cody, and PW Insider is reporting that she will now become a manager of a new tag team called the Natural Nightmares, which will consist of Dustin Rhodes and QT Marshall. QT Marshall, who's, you know, a good in-ring performer. I don't necessarily understand why you're pairing Brandy with them. She has her place here beside Cody, and honestly, it has become a bit of a weak point for Cody, because we've seen like this match, her distract and take away from Cody being in the ring, and he loses when Brandy's by his side. Well, Cody is just, I guess, he does lose quite a bit.
Right.
But ultimately, he should go on to win this feud, I would think, with Brandy by his side, and the feud will continue. And I'm wondering if this feud is the one that leads us to Blood and Guts, which is going to be their War Games format, and you have Team Cody versus Team MJF, or are they going to do Inner Circle versus Moxley and whomever? I'm not sure which way they're going yet.
They might do a couple of these matches, right?
Yeah, you know, I guess they could, but I mean, also, that would be overkill.
Yeah.
And if you don't want to follow suit to what WWE is doing, mm-hmm. where they do overkill and put two Elimination Chambers or, you know, two Royal Rumbles, you don't need to do that here.
Exactly.
Make it your main event, just do one of these and choose your feud.
Because the takeaway that I'm getting right now is that Brandy's the new, or is AEW's Big Show.
Brandy keeps
flipping. Yeah.
Well, perhaps, I guess. It's a good comparison, just the flippity-flop.
Yeah.
This match, to me, the build was much stronger than the match. It will continue. I did not think that it delivered to what the build had given us, because it was an incredible build. And could it get there? Like, it was just so good. Could it get there? I'm not sure. One thing that did get there, just before we got to take a break here, Sammy Guevara and Darby Allin are crazy people. They are future stars.
Yep.
Their match delivered. Let's also keep in mind, Sammy Guevara has got an injured foot, and he still delivered and did absolute insane moves on this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they were so over with the crowd. The crowd loves these guys.
Both of them. Both of them is great. The crazy 630 from the top rope
that
onto Darby lying on the table is insane. Along with that, the coffin drop going halfway across the ring was nuts. Darby Allin and Sammy Guevara, I can't say enough good things about them.
Yeah.
The opening match, to me, as we go backwards here, I was very thrown by Jake Hager and Dustin Rhodes. I don't think should have opened this pay-per-view. I think Guevara and Allin should have opened it.
Yeah, you want something hotter than that. It was two big guys beating each other up. You want something that'll get the crowd really going.
And they added, I guess it was Hager's wife in the crowd, but was never said to be Hager's wife.
Yeah, it just looked like he walked over and started making out with some chick in the front row.
It's fine that he made out with her, but everyone, and I mean, I didn't like the Dustin kiss to this woman forcibly.
Well, he didn't really even kiss her. He just kind of put his makeup all over her type thing.
2020, no, Dave, no.
Gross.
Not allowed, not good, and maybe 1990,
there you go.
Not 2020. All right, so that's our review. Honestly, disappointed. We'll get your feedback a little bit later in the show. My word of the day is disappointed. Better than the Saudi show.
Yes.
I'll give it that.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
We're going to talk about the Saudi show and the ramifications of it when we come back. You are listening to Sunday Night's Main Event. You're doing so on TSN Radio. Hey guys, it was just a few weeks ago that we saw Diamond Dallas Page return to the ring on AEW Dynamite. DDP is 63 years old, and he looked great. And as we all know, DDP is all about yoga. Well, it inspired me to finally try yoga myself. So I went to Moto Yoga Etobicoke. And as you can imagine, for a 40-plus guy that has never tried this before, I was pretty intimidated to get started. But they're super friendly, and the environment is judgment-free. And their beginner's classes guide you along from pose to pose. Moto Yoga Etobicoke, 1138 the Queensway, just west of Islington on the north side of the street. Tell them you heard this ad on the radio on Sunday Night's Main Event, and you get your first month of unlimited yoga for only $30. A regular month of unlimited yoga is over $100. So that is a crazy low price. Check them out online at motoyogaetobicoke.com.
Can Goldberg do this?
He can't. He can't.
He will.
Jackhammer. Cover by Goldberg. Shoulders down. He did it. Goldberg's the Universal Champion.
I can't believe it.
It's not about who was last. It's all about who's next.
I'm next.
Welcome back to Sunday Night's Main Event. Jason Agnew, Bartender Dave, here with you this week. And Dave, we watched Well, we watched the Saudi event together.
Yes, we did. Yeah.
To do the podcast review after it. And there was a real clear direction in regards to what was happening in WWE after that. Goldberg defeats The Fiend, takes the title. It's pretty much a squash. Reigns comes out on SmackDown, challenges Goldberg. I gotta say, man, I think people are gonna hate me. I love this.
Why do you love this?
Love it. I love the fact that I don't, I don't know what's going to happen next week with Elimination Chamber. I think it's going to be complete garbage. But you know what I didn't want?
It's a positive. Hold on.
What I didn't want?
Yeah. What?
I didn't want to sit through an Elimination Chamber when I already knew the outcome going in.
That's
because
a good point.
I already have one of those with Shayna Baszler winning.
Yeah.
And I have no interest in watching Roman Reigns in Elimination Chamber destroy a bunch of other guys that don't matter.
Yeah, like how long do those matches last? They last a long time.
And it's gonna, okay, and it was
we
gonna
know
be
Shane
three?
Is going to win. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So instead, you have this match teed up.
Yep.
I have completely... No, it's rare that I watch WWE and I kind of get the little tingles.
Yeah,
you know?
I know what you mean.
I got them for that moment.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just marking up for Goldberg. Because I wasn't even a big fan back in the day, but I like what he brings to the table. I'm 100% buying into spear versus spear.
Yes, that's
honestly love this idea.
Yeah, because we were talking before spear versus spear with Edge and
I would have been down Reigns. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, sure, I would have been into
that. But this
is
even better. Yep. You know, like I'm sorry, like there was always that thing about who had the better spear, Edge or Goldberg, but I think that Goldberg's got a better one, and I'd like to see. Him and Reigns? Sure, why not? Let's
well,
do
that,
this.
I mean, that looks like the way that we're headed. And, you know, beyond WrestleMania, there's a huge part of nostalgia in WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Too much nowadays.
Yes, I'll agree.
Because
with you.
We are looking backwards for a lot of this. But let's just say this match at WrestleMania is to go on no longer than 10 minutes, and Bill Goldberg maybe should wear a helmet so he doesn't hit his head and
well,
be a complete dum-dum.
Yeah, at least in his change room beforehand.
Yeah, so it's going to happen, and I think it's great, and I think it's the type of match that WrestleMania is built on. If you have other matches on the card that can deliver, and I really think that this puts a hell of a lot of pressure on Brock Lesnar and Drew McIntyre. Because what we can't see now is we cannot see that match be 10 minutes and under. That one's got to be 20.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Oh,
I can't.
Yeah.
No, they have to go with other ones. Because that one, when was the last time Lesnar did over 20 minutes?
I don't know. I can't
exactly.
Remember.
Exactly.
But you have to have, when you have so many titles, and one's a world title, one's a universal title, and they're both supposed to be important, what you can't do is run the same type of match.
Right.
And I think that if this match has to be short, so to me, that one has to be long. It has to be a slug it out.
Okay.
And it has to be Drew McIntyre going over.
Okay, I can see that because, like you said, that like tons of titles, even an NXT title on WrestleMania.
Oh yeah, that's a whole nother. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. I'm buying in, guys. I like this.
Mm-hmm.
I like where it's gone. I think it's way better. I mean, think of the alternate here, which was going to be Reigns versus The Fiend.
No, thank you.
So not only The Fiend is there's. I see nothing with this character anymore. I see a complete disconnect. I love how Goldberg treated this character.
Yeah,
and
that was great.
And I really hope coming out of that, what WWE may learn from it is that we saw what happened to Rollins in his reaction to The Fiend. He is lost.
Well, I took that too because like it's like we were talking about this at when we were doing
the podcast,
exactly,
right? Yeah,
how he cowered in the corner and cried, and then Goldberg's just like, "Oh, you're standing behind me," and then boom, spear, done. Like that's so more real and something you can get behind, other than a cowering fool that can't even finish him off in a Hell in a Cell after like three of his finishers.
And I think Roman Reigns. Because what I believe is coming out of this is The Fiend is going to defeat Cena, and we'll talk about that in a sec, and then Reigns is going to defeat Goldberg. And that's going to lead you down the road of Reigns versus The Fiend.
Mm-hmm.
Get ready, friends,
because
that's the program coming out of WrestleMania, from what I can see.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, if they look at the way Goldberg came out of his program with The Fiend, he's come out strong.
Totally.
If they look at the way Rollins came out of the program with The Fiend, he's lost. So that means the way that Reigns has to behave in that feud is, yo, this is my yard. Come at me.
Yeah, exactly.
So they have to learn from it. Yeah. So I hope that's what we see.
Now, can I pose a question to you?
You can.
Okay. Which would you rather see?
Okay.
Reigns and The Fiend?
Yeah.
Or Reigns and Corbin? Because that seems like on equal ground.
Neither.
I know, exactly. Right. And I love Corbin, but it's just...
No, okay, because that's coming out of it. Well, I'll say Reigns versus The Fiend because I've had to sit through Reigns versus Corbin for so long.
119
now.
Days?
Yeah, you did the math. You did the math on the podcast. All right, the other thing that we saw coming out of SmackDown, and I will say as much as I love the beginning with Reigns and Goldberg, the ending, John Cena... comes out, and by the way, ratings were up. John Cena comes out to tell us that he's not going to be at WrestleMania because he doesn't want to take someone's spot. Then The Fiend walks out and points at the sign, and Cena salutes him. So everything that Cena just said, he's being a giant hypocrite about.
Totally.
And now he's taking a spot.
That's how powerful the finger point is.
Oh, man.
The finger point of doom.
It's just so dumb. Granted. Okay.
Yes.
I will give it this, Dave. I think it's better than Elias versus Cena.
I'll give you that as well. Yeah. No.
But that's different. About where it ends.
Yeah. Well, they couldn't do Elias. Elias is a face, and people
that's
like
where
him now.
Well, that's where it was supposed to be going because they did the interaction last year where Cena came out as the rapper, so they were going to go out. They were going to go with that. Fiend getting a win over Cena doesn't hurt Cena. Makes total sense. Puts him over a legend. Okay, fine. Not sure. I don't think this will be met very well at WrestleMania. Granted, you know, we didn't get the red light at the Saudi show. Did you notice that?
Just in the
Maybe
entrance.
They're done.
That's it.
Yep. Maybe they're done with it.
I hope so.
Undertaker and AJ Styles. Once again, this is part of the problem of WrestleMania. Yes, we are looking at a bunch of old guys. I am not interested in this at all.
Nor am I.
The Phenom versus the Phenomenal One, cool.
Yep.
But I do not wish to see AJ Styles cut promos about The Undertaker. I might have more interest if it was the hick biker Undertaker versus the hick flat earther known as AJ Styles.
Flat earther. I love it.
Like, I'm just, this to me is, Undertaker was reserved for a while for dream matches.
Mm-hmm.
Shawn Michaels.
Yep.
Hunter would tell you his was a dream match.
It was a good match.
Brock Lesnar. CM Punk, which I loved. I didn't like the lead up to it, but I really, really enjoyed that match.
I think that might have been his last good match, The Undertaker at WrestleMania, to tell you the truth.
And now he's finding himself in the ring with AJ Styles, and now it just seems like Undertaker just saying yes to any paycheck he can get his hands on.
This one caught me completely off guard, and I couldn't figure out why. Like why it was even happening. I don't like AJ's character right now. I don't like his snarky little uppity type that he is. And I just think that it doesn't suit him. And,
the program doesn't suit AJ
Styles.
And
there's no way that he's going to win.
No, so of course not.
Why bother? Why bother?
Well, I mean, the bothering is for people who are going to WrestleMania to see The Undertaker's entrance.
Well, that's fine. That's fine. You want to do something to that? Just do like a face-off with Sting. Not a match, just
man.
A face-off.
Don't you? I'm so glad. I am so glad that is not happening. Maybe they'll save it to next year with two old men facing off.
Just a little slap fight going off in the middle of the ring.
That's not good. Miz and Morrison won the tag team titles. We watched that on the Saudi show.
And I didn't even remember it.
And they came out on SmackDown, and they try this thing. Miz and Morrison, hey, ho-ho.
Yeah,
this
terrible.
Weird, it's really bad.
It's really, really, really bad. But it suits the Miz perfectly because that's the type of character he is. Just totally annoying and ugh.
I just feel kind of bad for John Morrison.
Don't you?
I know it was his decision to come back. But
still, they couldn't do anything better?
You have to think that he thought he was coming back and would not immediately be thrown into a role. He's now working at a level below from where he left.
Exactly, because that was 2009 when they broke up and they started feuding with each other till 2011. And this is where they go back to. John Morrison reinvented himself, got better, got in better shape, and became a greater character. And now they just, here you go. Here's The Miz. Nobody wants to work with The Miz. Not even The Miz.
There is a tag team elimination chamber that has been added To the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view, which is next weekend.
Yes.
For some ridiculous
reason.
I don't know if this is really needed. I guess this is being put in place because they have lost the Elimination Chamber that was supposed to feature Roman Reigns winning. So instead, here are the teams. The Usos, The New Day, Rudolph, Heavy Machinery, and the Lucha House Party. The Lucha House Party.
Yeah.
No revival. No revival.
That's right. Because I was looking at it, I'm trying to, this is the big problem. Because I was looking at that Lucha House Party. Well, why? Why wouldn't they have put somebody else in? And then I'm thinking, who else would they have put in? And I didn't even think of the revival.
Clearly the revival. God. There's also, they're fighting over trademarks at this point. So the WWE tried to get the Mechanics trademark. You really think the Revival are going to want to be? No, remember they were called the Mechanics in NXT?
Yes. Yeah.
I don't think they're going to want to go back to that. I think that's a pretty safe copyright there, WWE. Not a problem.
Oh, boy.
This is something that, once again, I'm not interested in not only what this pay-per-view match brings about, but the result of it will then probably mean that you're going to have two of these teams go head-to-head at WrestleMania. And once again, I'm not that interested in any of that either. There's no combination of any of these tag teams that I would look forward to seeing a match with.
No, I totally agree with you. It's just kind of a Magoo type of thrown together. Blech.
Get ready. Next week, I can't wait to have Lavransky here because he is going to be so angry that I'm bringing him in to host this show with me next week after he was on Cloud 9 watching Revolution, which kind of disagree with him on that, but nonetheless, next week he will suffer, but we will all suffer together. We'll be live next week covering that. Coming up next, though, a bit of a mix and match, as we said on the show today. We're going to do the news next, and then after that, Meltzer will kick off the second hour. So stay with us. We'll get you updated on everything around AEW and WWE. Lots of ROH news this week as well. We're covering it all right here, Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio.
Here in Canada, we have several regionally specific phrases that arise when said vernacular is considered appropriate, i.e., the funny-sounding term, shinny. Shinny is a game of ice hockey played without the standard head-to-toe body armor. Instead, only skates, gloves, a hockey stick, and preferably a helmet is worn. And if you're Mike Lackey, GLB's brewmaster, you wear the same pair of shinny pants day in and day out from December until March. A common code of ethics is employed during a game of shinny. For example, raising the puck off the ice is strongly discouraged, for fear of being struck in the shins or worse, elsewhere. However, the most common practice takes place off the sheet of ice. Mandatory post-shinny beverages with your team, and boy does Great Lakes Brewery have the beer for that. Shinny Pants Session Stout, a beer inspired by Mr. Lackey's well-worn and well-stained pants.
Aw, man, you spilled beer on my shinny pants, bud.
Shinny Pants Session Stout. Drink it fresh, please.
And now, your wrestling roundup on Sunday night's main event.
Busy, busy week, as we've been saying, so let's get you up today. Welcome back, Sunday night's main event. This is your recap, as you just heard. And hey, in case you didn't realize, next Sunday is the Elimination Chamber. Myself and Dan Lavransky will be coming at you live after the show, right here on TSN Radio, taking your phone calls and most likely complaints about a show that seems to have no purpose since the Mania card is pretty much all laid out. Here's what we have on the slate so far for that show, as we've been talking about. Raw Women's Elimination Match with Asuka, Liv Morgan, Ruby Riott, Sarah Logan, Natalya, and Shayna. The SmackDown Tag Team Elimination Match with Miz and Morrison, The Usos, New Day, Rudolph, Tucker and Otis, and the Lucha House Party. And we also have the very ridiculous 3-on-1 Intercontinental title match featuring Braun Strowman defending his Intercontinental title, I guess, Dave?
I guess
so. What happens if he loses? Who does it go to?
Whoever pins?
I guess. Cesaro, Nakamura, and Sami Zayn in that match. Now, since we're 1 week away and barely have a card, there is no six-pack challenge for this week. And as you may know, Joe Aguinaldo is still our reigning and defending six-pack champion as he defeated Mark Andrade convincingly, 5-2 on the Super Showdown Challenge. He will now face a mystery opponent for the WrestleMania six-pack challenge, David. A mystery opponent that I am currently searching and finding to defeat Joe out of nowhere.
Is it me?
It's not you, no.
Oh, come on.
No, you've lost too many times.
No, I've only...
I've lost too many times. Mouth has lost too many times. We got to take it outside the core, Dave. Outside the core.
All right. On Wednesday, WWE announced that Samoa Joe had been suspended for 30-day wellness policy violation. This is his first violation and comes on the heels of being out of action due to two separate concussions.
I would guess at this point, even though, you know, 30 days will expire before WrestleMania, he could be a surprise at WrestleMania, maybe for Kevin Owens.
Or maybe he could be into that that handicap match. Oh, wait, no, that's on Sunday.
Yeah, that's on Sunday. No. We got a while to go before WrestleMania. No. He could pop up maybe in the Battle Royal, which would be a waste of Joe, maybe a surprise tag team partner. Yep. But how much of a surprise would Joe's return be? I could see him missing WrestleMania. He's really had some bad luck, and this is... a little suspicious that he's now getting nabbed for this.
Mm-hmm.
There was an AEW panel at C2E2 in Chicago. A couple notes coming out of it include the announcement that an AEW video game is coming. They are working on development, but it's going to take time. Kenny will make the announcement when there are more details, and there will be 3 shows in the UK in 2020, and yes, 1 in Canada. The Canadian show, rumored to be a pay-per-view. So where do you think? Is it Toronto or... Is it Winnipeg?
Oh, man, they got to do Winnipeg.
Honestly, I think, they have to come to Toronto and then Montreal and Vancouver after that. But, I mean, for that company, I would have said, you know, that's where Kenny and Jericho should go at it. But after last night, that plan's all thrown to the wayside
now. Exactly. It's like just ridiculous what's going
on. Don't understand.
There. No. In a scrum after last night's AEW Revolution event, Tony Khan confirmed that Colt Cabana had been signed with the company. He also said that Cabana will still be allowed to work with other promotions with approval from Khan.
Yeah, I'm curious if one of those promotions will be NWA Power.
Yeah, because he's on that show too.
He has been on that show, and I haven't watched all much of it recently, but. I would guess, though, that AEW wouldn't want that. You wouldn't want one of your guys to also be on that, you know, American promotion. That is getting still a bit of press within the wrestling community.
Yes, yeah.
Not necessarily any mainstream, but you kind of want Cabana. You know, I think the deal can be in place where he can go work in Japan, although nothing's really happening in Japan right now, which you're going to get into in just a little bit. But, you know, with Tony's approval is the key there. Let's get into some ratings news. We do this on a weekly basis, although both shows were down on Wednesday. AEW once again defeated NXT. AEW scored 865,000. That is down from 893,000 viewers. And NXT, 717,000 viewers, down from 794,000. Those are all averages, of course. Now, the drop is most likely a result of NBA basketball being back on after the All-Star break. On this week's show, NXT is trying to spike ratings with 2 cage matches, whereas AEW will, of course, have all of the Revolution fallout, as well as the first appearance of the newly signed Lance Archer. And I'm curious to see where he falls into the mix. Heel, babyface, and who is Lance Archer's first program in AEW?
Well, he's got to be a heel because he's got that tramp stamp on the back still.
So that makes him a heel?
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
you can't have one of those.
That will bond him with a lot of the audience, I feel.
Oh, my gosh. A few notes from Ring of Honor. First of all, there is a new world champion. At the Gateway to Honor on Saturday night, Rush regained the title by defeating PCO and Mark Haskins in a triple threat match. Nick Aldis came out towards the end of the match to hit PCO with the NWA World Title Belt, which led to the finish. And it will also lead to Aldis versus PCO at Supercard of Honor in April.
Now, it also looks like the Ring of Honor relationship with New Japan is back in a good spot as ROH announced the dates for their 2020 War of the Worlds tour. So far, we've got May 6th in Buffalo, May 7th right here in Toronto at the Ted Reeve Arena, May 9th at the Wings Event Center in Kalamazoo, Michigan, and May 10th at the Odeum Expo Center in Villa Park, Illinois.
Is Kalamazoo a real place?
It is, apparently.
I thought that was just from Bugs Bunny.
Yeah.
In other Ring of Honor news, we had reported on the show a few weeks back that ROH will be bringing back the Pure Championship. This will be done in a 16-man tournament. Competitors so far announced are Doug Williams, Jonathan Gresham, Alex Shelley, Rocky Romero, and Mark Haskins. The Pure Tournament will begin on April 10th.
The company is also about to run a Women of Honor tournament to replace Kelly Klein after she dropped the title when she left the company. The tournament will kick off on April 24th in Philly, and current competitors are Sumi Sakai, Kellyanne, Angelina Love, Nicole Savoy, Katarina, that is formerly Katie Lee Burchill in WWE, or Winter in Impact. Two tournaments running at the same time is weird for a promotion to do, Dave.
It's a lot to do, but I really, really liked Katie Lee Burchill.
Okay, so that's doing it for you?
Yeah, it's fine. I'm fine with that.
I don't understand how they're going to find. They're looking at finding 16 female performers to compete in this tournament. You really are going to have to scour the indies and international for that, because, you know, we've even seen AEW have a problem with their women's division being by far, you know, the weakest thing on their weekly television
Very
and their
so.
Cards.
Yep.
So this is even a level below that. So this, to me, maybe not the best idea, especially 16?
16 is
like
a lot.
Let's go with eight. Maybe four.
Yeah.
16, though. Come on.
Just keep dropping that number as it comes down. Speaking of dropping numbers, or numbers going up, I should say.
Yeah, in this case.
The coronavirus continues to cause major issues in Japan. Last week, we reported about Shimmer canceling shows and speculated if parent company Bushiroad would also cancel New Japan events. And this week, we learn that they have. After recommendations made by the Japanese Ministry of Health concerning the COVID-19 outbreak, New Japan has canceled all shows between now and March 15th. 11 events are affected by the cancellations. Two are anniversary tour events, one is New Japan's 48th anniversary show, and eight are New Japan Cup shows. New Japan wrote that further announcements will be made at a later date. They also noted that all ticket holders will be refunded.
Yeah, I mean, this is an interesting story. We've seen a whole bunch of stuff in Japan canceled. Of course, China, the worst spot, the origin.
Yep.
And there was, did you read any about the article that came out or the rumor mill that was churning this week about Stephanie McMahon saying, well, you know, we can cancel WrestleMania if, you know, we're putting health first, we're putting safety first.
Are you serious?
Yeah,
No, it's nothing.
Yeah. Listen, to all of you who shared that with me and put it up on the Sunday Night's Main Event Facebook group, unless Major League Baseball, the NFL, the NBA, the NHL, MLS, and every concert is canceled in North America, you can damn well be sure WrestleMania is going according to plan and schedule.
Yeah, exactly. And like, it's proof positive there by looking at September 11th.
This is different, though,
Dave.
This is something to kind of rally behind tragedy. This is the reason why everything's being canceled is people can be affected due to person-to-person contamination and spreading it. So this is completely different. But you just know that unless the government, unless Vince's buddy Donald says, listen, Vince, I know it's a great event, but got to cancel it. There's a very bad thing happening. Like, that's the only way it's happening.
And that's, like, one of the takeaways that I had from the Saudi show was all of the masks in the crowd.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that was crazy how many masks there were.
It's definitely, apparently Italy is being hit really hard as well. Listen, I would bet if they had a tour, let's say in Italy, yes, WWE would cancel their tour.
Yeah.
I would see that. Right now, I mean, you know, we are lucky here in North America to this point. There is still limited contamination. I mean, we're sitting here in Ontario, I believe. They are up to 11 cases right now.
Yeah.
But, you know, how many cases of the this is what is always brought about. Like, how many cases of the flu are killing people, right?
Exactly.
The only difference is, right now with COVID-19, there is not a vaccination for it. And that is really the concern. But I'll tell you, just working on Newstalk, the first person who came to Canada with the virus went to the hospital and then went home because they got over it. So if your immune system is strong enough, you'll override the virus.
Yeah, exactly.
It will pick on weak people. That is, you know, the elderly and probably young children as well. You know,
are we considered in that? Like, we're in our 40s.
We are elderly. Yeah,
we are weak people.
I am not going to WrestleMania this year is what I'm saying. Not just because I don't want to sit there for 12 hours in a stadium.
Amen to that. I did it last year.
Let's take a break. Yeah, and now your children hate wrestling after you drag them to that event.
Yeah, but they love basketball, so.
Well, there you go. Those tickets are more expensive.
Oh, God, are they.
Let's take a break. Let's come back hour two. We will kick things off with Dave Meltzer. Don't forget forget Turnbuckle Trivia still to come. And we got to dive back into NXT as well, because they had an interesting television show this week that did not get a lot of hype. Should it have? We'll talk about it in the next hour. Whole nother hour, Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio. Thanks for listening to the free version of Sunday Night's Main Event. Well, that was just hour one, but if you want hour two, then please sign up to our Patreon, patreon.com/SNMEradio. It's just a dollar a week. You get the full two-hour show, commercial-free, and along with that, all of our bonus podcasts that include The Midweek Markout, All Elite Weekly, Sunday Morning Trivia, and Dan Lavransky's Music Show. All of that comes to you for just a dollar a week. So go get it right now. Patreon.com/SNMEradio.